Totes Recall. Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we can't remember very well. Pause the recording, eat two pizzas and two salads, thank you patrons, while watching the movie we just discussed. Then we come back for a second half of the record and we discuss the movie once again to see how it held up, how good or bad our memories were, and if we ate too much pizza. My name is Dan.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie this very special Netvember
buzz,
is...
Buzz, buzz, the sound of electricity.
Tron!
Oh, wow.
One.
Very yes. Netvember.
Yes.
The Maybe. Most net.
They go in a computer, for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's networked to something.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I guess because he shows up at a video. Anyway, it came out in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Molly.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 86, actually.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm going to guess 81.
Wow.
Bold. I love it.
That's very bold.
I love it.
I also love it.
84.
I'll say 85.
Not you want to hear my logic for why I think it was early 80s?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. So there was a time in my life when I was in the third grade.
Oh.
Maybe it was 82 then. Anyway.
It's too late.
No, I mean, is it really too late?
It's too late.
To okay.
change my answer. Well, what if I just did 80 through 85?
No.
Unacceptable.
Okay, 80 That's through 90.
Never worked. It's never worked.
Well,
every time
but
you
I'm
ask.
Always right when I do that.
Honestly, that's not true.
That's fair. Okay, so when I was in, let's say, the second grade, I lived in a small town called Bartlett, Tennessee, which that year had the national champion cheerleading team okay. from Bartlett High mm-hmm. School.
Wow.
And that, or 82, 83-ish. And there was an arcade in town.
Oh.
And there was a video game for this movie, Tron.
Oh. I agree. There was a video game. I
that was like one of those big ones where you could like stand in it or
Whoa.
Drive yeah. in it or whatever, right?
Like light just cycle, the. Right?
It was like a light cycle or the high lie.
I don't know. I just know it wasn't the kind that you just walked up to yeah. and played on a screen. It was sort of immersive in some way. And I remember begging my parents, could I please see the movie and can I play this game? And they said, one, no, it requires two tokens instead of one.
Ugh,
go play Ms. Pac-Man Ugh. Or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And two, no, you cannot see that movie. It's for adults.
For adults?
Well, they didn't want to see it, so they just told me.
Yeah, they made
I was
a
like,
reason.
It's definitely for kids,
to
right?
Quote,
is it a kid's movie?
No. I think it might be for teens.
For teens?
I'm saying PG.
Okay, until this very moment, I assumed it was for adults.
I thought it was...
Because of your parents?
Yes.
Nice.
I don't know if I've actually ever seen it before. I know I've seen... I think I saw the new one.
Tron Legacy?
Legacy.
Yeah, I want to say Legacy.
To quote the bard of the 80s, William Smith, parents just don't understand.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's real.
That's true.
But I don't know. I might be misremembering or thinking it was a different...
We'll
game,
find out.
We will find
about
out.
Right.
I've also played yeah. that game. I played it at Keystone Arcade.
Nice.
In Mountain View or Palo Alto?
Has anyone
it's gone? I'm sure.
The entire town?
The arcade.
Oh.
I'm sure the arcade is gone.
I mean, probably most of the original town is gone at
yeah,
the point,
arcades
right?
are.
Did you know there was, at least in the 90s, an arcade museum in St. Louis?
Nice.
I'll try to look it up, see if it's still there. But it was super fun. They had everything from like a penny. Arcade machine all the yeah. way on up to what was then modern.
Time Crisis.
Cool.
Yeah,
it was pretty sweet.
Jeff Bridges, I've seen this movie.
Has anyone else not seen this movie?
He's in it? I have not seen it for sure.
Slow your roll, Dan.
Oh, wow.
I think it's time we take a union strong, support the Writers Guild, SAG-AFTRA, keep it going, auto workers.
Everybody strike.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Totes Recall.
Totes Recall.
You have seen this movie, Dan?
Yes.
Okay. Beth and Molly, teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you ready?
Just like unions.
Nice. Are you ready?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So
people are inside a computer?
I think there is a video game in an arcade.
Okay.
And somehow they are like electricity happens and they're like sucked into the game.
And is it a boy and a girl?
I know for sure Jeff Bridges is one of them.
I heard that recently too.
And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a girl.
And my memory is that there's a girl and they ride around on bikes and it's just very stylized with a lot of lights.
Yeah, it's like neon. Everything is like dark except for like neon lights and it's they like can blue? Only turn at on like right angles.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, they ride around and if they crash into like you create like a trail behind the bike.
10 seconds.
And if you crash into it.
They defeat evil and get married.
And the bad guy is orange maybe. Good guy is blue.
Or they don't get married. They just have fruitful lives.
Time.
Marriage is not the only way to be happy. I'm just trying to tie a bow on it.
Yeah.
You can also get a high-paying job.
Yeah. We know how the 80s worked.
But don't do both.
No.
No. Yeah. That's never an option.
Yeah. See, Mr. Those are great bets.
Great.
My memory of is Jeff Bridges is in a lab or something or in like a server room. And he's setting up a laser.
Yeah. I remember this. I am recalling this too. Like, I feel like it's very Honey, I Shrunk the Kids-esque, where they're just like a weird laser gun.
Yeah. And the laser computerizes him.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he's in the computer.
Yes.
And there's like a whole world.
It's not a video game. It's not like an arcade. It's like a computer game.
He's like at a job or a lab
but
or
isn't
something.
He okay. Isn't he at a make a game lab? Doesn't he like make computer games?
He might, because the Tron game exists. He goes into an existing game, but then there's like a whole world inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, there's the light bikes.
Shops?
I don't know if there's shops. There's definitely the light bikes.
Yeah.
Which you talked about. There's Hi-Li.
Yeah.
There's some.
What's Hi-Li?
Hi-Li is a sport. Yes. It's that sport where you got the curved glove and you swing a ball really fast.
Is this in real life or in Tron life?
I mean,
Hi-Li is a real thing.
They might have added.
They made a Tron version.
They might have altered the rules a bit for Tron World.
Got it.
Yeah.
There's throwing discs at each other.
Yes.
Disc golf.
No, they're trying to hit each other.
It's like offensive frisbee.
Yeah. Oh.
When you say, okay, so when you say they're throwing discs at each other, there is a villain within the game. Or is it like somebody else has also been zapped into this game?
I am unclear on that, actually.
My memory is only Jeff Bridges gets sucked inside.
Okay.
And he's trying to get out. And I think he's up against like the CPU or something.
Okay. Yeah.
The bad guy's got like a computer name.
And he's
the
like
orderer
a giant
or something.
Head or something.
Oh.
Who Jeff Bridges is mixing stuff up. He's breaking all the rules.
Yeah.
Okay, and the computer does not like that because it likes rules.
Yeah. Computer likes rules. And there is a lady. I think the lady's already in the game.
Is she a person or a computer program?
I think she's a program, but they also...
Smooch, at least.
Does she have brown hair? Molly's bet she has brown hair.
All right.
I don't know. I'm relying on like my 8-year-old brain right now. Yeah. So.
But yeah, they have just like neon helmets and gear.
Yeah.
And they look cool, but I bet it looks like shit.
I bet it looks cool in that it's like uniquely stylized.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But I mean, they put a budget behind it, right? But it was a big flop. Molly's bet it was a flop.
Wow.
I think.
I also bet that it was a flop.
But it's like Disney, right?
I think they own it at least.
Yeah.
Now
they
do. If it was a flop, why have so many people seen it? And then did they make a sequel out of it?
Because it became a cult classic.
Yeah.
Okay. So people were like, actually, we do like this movie.
Yeah. All the dork kids were like, hell yeah, I'm in a video game now. And then the dork kids grew up and everybody made comic book movies. And now the dorks ruled.
Yeah.
And got
then,
it. Okay.
And then made a lot of money. Somebody in the Disney corp was like, dorks loved Tron. Let's make another Tron while Jeff Bridges is alive.
Yeah.
Oh, he's in that one too?
Yeah. He's like old. He's the same character, and he's old.
I think his son gets sucked into the game.
Oh.
Would you say he's an Ultron?
Is that like a Voltron joke?
Yeah, like a Voltron, old Tron.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
Check out The Old Man on Hulu.
Old Man and the Sea Drive.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay.
You're cooking with gas now, Molly.
If it doesn't exist, it's ours.
Yeah, it is. Trademark.
That's a good book.
Okay, here's where I'm confused about whether there are other people in the machine. Because I don't think I've seen this since I was a kid. But I feel like there's a point in the movie near the end where, like, someone gets, like, I don't know, like, supercharged by the evil computer.
Yeah.
And now they're, like, but they also, it's confusing because, like, the computer programs, it's like the Matrix. Like, the programs also look like people.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not sure if the guy who gets supercharged and is, like, the evil antagonist that he has to deal with at the near the end is a person who's also in the computer, or if he's, like, a program written by that. Because I feel like the actor who plays him in the computer also plays a character in the real world.
I was just about to make that bet.
So I feel like maybe it's either like he actually got sucked in or like he wrote the program. So like it's represented by the actor.
And it's a confusing style choice. Whenever they do that, where they cast the same person as two different characters and don't explain why, I get confused. Yeah. I think this movie does it.
Yeah.
Because he's got a buddy.
Yeah.
Outside. He's got a buddy in the real world.
Okay.
Who knows he's in the game?
I don't think at first.
Great question.
But then, because there's a one point where he, like, in the game, he comes to the screen in an arcade. He's like, let me out.
What?
I think.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Oh, shit. Jeff Bridges is in the game. There's also an apple. An apple gets computerized.
Just like Shining Eye Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, if I find out I've watched this movie, I'm going to laugh and laugh. Because that sounds real. But maybe I've just seen, like, a meme.
But I remember his friend is like, ha ha ha, my buddy's out of the way and now I can make all the money.
Oh.
Or if his buddy's trying to get him out. It's kind of got a little bit of a Sneakers vibe where like the two buddy hacker buddies and one it goes bad and the other goes fine.
Sure.
Is there a girl component?
In the real world?
In any of the worlds.
There's a lady in the game.
That they smooch.
But is there like a jealousy factor outside world?
Oh, like he's got a IRL girlfriend?
Yeah, that maybe the buddy
maybe.
Turned bad. Oh, bad buddy goes like, after.
Puts his arm around her really aggressively?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
Solid bet.
We can hope.
Okay, is there, in movies like this, there are usually like two components. One is that there is a villain within the game that is trying to kill the main character within the game. And it's like, if he dies in there, he dies in real life kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
Is that a thing?
You got to have stakes, right?
Yeah. He goes into like a computer jail at some point.
Okay.
Because he's like a misbehaving program. And so he gets quarantined.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
And then he's got to break out.
The place where this is different from the Matrix is there is no Jeff Bridges body out in the real world. Like he is like
he's
literally
in the
game.
So then is there a second kind of plot line where it's like maybe his buddy is trying to protect the computer from being turned off because he knows his friend is in the game.
Oh yeah, I bet there's a moment where like the computer is being threatened to be just like shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe by the NSA.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I guess there must be a network aspect because
I guess in the 80s it would have been the FBI.
Do we think there's going to be amazing technology?
Yes.
Like shots of technology.
I hope so. Yeah.
Like being able to order a pizza like on the net.
To show that he's like an incredible computer guy.
Yeah. He hacks hard. Yeah.
He hacks hard.
I can't wait to see this guy hack.
Yeah. Oh.
Dan's bet. Tron is the name of one of the buddies that Jeff Bridges hangs out with in the computer.
Oh.
Because like,
it's not the game.
Well, I think the people that aren't Jeff Bridges are programs. So I think he is like the manifestation of the game Tron or something.
Whoa.
I thought he might be the big villain, and that's like the final boss.
Oh, Tron is the villain.
That's my guess.
I thought the big head was just called, like the CPU or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, Dan's bet, the big head is maybe will look corny computer graphics, but like as a character is pretty cool because it's just like a weird head with a deep voice.
Yeah. There's also like very like angled walking robot looking things that are just like, I'm showing it visually, which doesn't help. They're just like three sides of a square.
Yeah.
And they just like walk and chase him on his light bike.
Ooh. And Jeff Bridges has like a weird little like Disney animal friend that's just like a weird shape. Do you remember the shape that like makes little noises and changes shape as it makes noises?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I think it's a bit.
I was going to say, I bet its name is Bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like a comic bit.
I mean, both.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Great.
Wow.
I think it is a bit because it can only communicate by saying yes or no.
Is it by any chance a woman, and does it communicate with another bit? And do they communicate about not a man?
Oof. I doubt it.
Okay. I think it's going to fail.
Fail the Bechdel-Wallace test? I agree. I think it's going to fail.
Yeah.
I don't even think I can muster up an optimistic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But who knows? I'd love to be wrong.
Maybe Jeff Bridges would be like, oh, quick, let me program you a second woman.
Yeah. Oh, now I've got two women in here. Clickety clack.
Clickety clack.
So you're betting that Jeff Bridges is a sex creep?
No, I think he's a hashtag good man. But he's probably kind of a slob and he wears a jean jacket.
Yeah, I bet he's a good man, good hacker, bad employee.
Oh,
he's hacking on the side, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Slacker hacker.
Slacker hacker.
Ooh, slacker hacker. That's good. Mm. Yeah, I don't actually know what the plot of this movie is outside of Jeff Bridges in computer doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, it seems like there's got to be an outside plot, like Beth was saying. Like, we got to get the game launched, or we can't get money, or
like maybe the computer.
I gotta make rent.
Maybe the computer's like freaking out because Jeff Bridges is in it, and so one of the other employees is like, "Oh no, there's a virus, and we have to like wipe
they think
the drive
he's a virus.
Or something."
Oh,
that seems like a thing.
Cyrus the virus.
What?
Yeah.
That's from Con Air.
Okay. Very similar film.
They both. Nope. I was going to say from the 80s, but that's not true.
No, it's not. But nowhere
from
near
decades
true.
Decades past.
Yeah. That's true. Works. That's true.
Yeah.
Any other actors with names we'll know when we see them?
Wow.
I bet we'll be delighted by some people we had forgotten about.
I bet the villain is played by somebody that we know or will recognize from 80s movies.
Nice.
Or TV. No, just movies. This was back when movies and TV were totally separate.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I put myself in the right mindset. Man, I could really go for a new Coke right now. Am I right?
You are right.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, oh, let's watch Max Headroom on the television.
I'm so upset because I shit myself and don't have the ability to change my own undergarments. 80s. We're in the 80s.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Was everybody shitting themselves?
No, because I was like 3.
Oh.
Oh, I see what's happening.
Jesus.
I was like, is that an infomercial?
It's an infomercial.
I'm following it. I can't get up.
That's what I thought you were saying.
I shit myself and I can't change out of it.
Yeah.
Well, at 3, you probably could.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Well.
Wait, when did I say this movie came out?
84.
Oh, I was definitely shitting myself then.
Yeah. Well, you probably knew about it.
Tron?
Shitting yourself.
Oh.
I mean, it was in the cultural zeitgeist, so maybe you were also aware.
Yeah. I definitely played the Tron game, but it must have been well after it got released.
But they weren't. So this is pre-massive marketing, though, right? So this wasn't like, this is pre-Jurassic Park, where there was like Jurassic everything. Yeah, I think video games are really the major commercialization.
Yeah.
But I will look up if McDonald's had a special Happy Meal.
Nice.
I feel like there were some plates or cups.
Sure.
Tron cups.
Oh, you know those glasses? Remember those glasses
I
they used to give away?
Glasses. Wow.
I'll ask.
So good.
Then you get ask real material.
Yes.
Okay.
Now everything's just fucking a piece of plastic.
Man, those glasses were sweet. We used to collect all of them.
Nice.
Well, anyway, okay.
McDonald's glasses, a scam too,
Tron. What do you mean it's a scam?
Why would that be a scam?
Just to get you to buy more?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
get
yeah,
the whole set.
Definitely. Yeah.
Well,
enough
that you that's don't not need. A scam.
You've got enough glasses at home, right?
What?
Some people don't.
How are you grumpy about getting...
About a major corporation giving
manipulating
us
manipulating children into forcing buying, their parents to buy more things?
Buying low-quality food?
Okay, those glasses... lasted a long time, though.
He's not talking about the quality of the glasses.
Well, you know.
I'm sorry. I forgot how much you love McDonald's and Burger King.
And just large corporations in general.
I do have really fond memories,
though.
Who's
Turner's favorite fast food?
Great question.
Ted's Montana Grill. And I'm sure I've told you the French fry story.
No.
No, I don't think you have. Look at you. Look what you did.
Are you
did
so it. Upset that you I, thought I wouldn't be able to do it?
Wait, is it actually a fast food place or like I don't a casual, know what fast casual? Is.
It's fast casual.
That's different.
Do they serve buffalo burgers?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
I was going to guess burgers. Buffalo on Wild brand. Wings for fun. I didn't actually know the answer.
Is there buffalo fries?
That's a great, that's a very funny guess.
That is a funny guess.
Do you want to hear the French fry story? It's
yes.
pretty good.
Okay.
I don't know if it's true. Okay. Dan hates this.
I'm the only one that actually expressed any level of enthusiasm.
No, I want to hear it.
Do you?
I want to hear
Should
it.
Should we save it for the second half?
No. I want to hear it right now.
Wow. Wow, he's
okay,
so mad.
Okay, what's it called? Montana Ted's?
Ted's Montana Grill.
Ted's Montana.
Is it his restaurant?
He owns.
Oh, okay. Yes. It's not like he loves it. It's like his thing.
Well, both.
It's more like Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill, where he probably loves it because it makes him money.
Yeah.
But no, he also owns it.
He also owns it, and he would go there. Frequently.
Yeah, no one's disputing that. I'm helping Dan understand it.
Well, yeah, do you? So, yeah, but he like genuinely likes the place, is not simply, but I mean, not, you know what I'm saying. He's opened Ted's Montana Grill because he wanted to save the bison. I don't know. There's at least one in Atlanta. I thought there were more. I'm not sure.
So there's just one
in Atlanta?
Hey, I did not say there was just one. I said there's at least one. I'll look it up. Maybe it's still open. I don't know.
But did it spread outside of Georgia?
Listen, people, these are all questions that are relevant to the story. Okay, whatever.
In Montana? Did they even put one in Montana? What are the fries?
Yeah, tell us about the fries. Yes.
Thanks, Beth.
You're
you
welcome.
Understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're trying to understand Ted Turner's incredible fast casual restaurant franchise.
Okay, so Ted Turner used to take people to Ted's Montana Grill. Yeah. Which he owned. He started it because he wanted to save the bison population. And weirdly, the only way to save bison is to kill them and eat them.
Right.
It makes sense. Capitalism, America number 5. He was having a business lunch with other people. I have heard this third hand. I don't know if it's true. But in that business meeting, when he ordered his food, it comes with fries. And he asked, could you please put 19 fries on the plate? And the server complied, brought it back, and then somebody at the table reached over to take one of his fries. Uh-huh. And he said, damn it, if I'd known you would have wanted one, I would have ordered 20.
Oh.
I think it's because he was really watching his calories and his, like, his fat intake and stuff, and he knew he could have up to 19 fries.
Wow. But that's bold of someone to reach over when somebody makes such a specific order.
Right?
But I think about this story.
Wait, was that guy a plant so he could make that joke?
It wasn't a joke.
Like he would have genuinely ordered 20?
He ordered 19 French fries.
No, I understand that part.
Specifically because he wanted 19.
Yeah.
Not 18 or 17.
Yeah. But I'm saying it was the guy who reached for the fries a plant so that he could diffuse this situation by making that joke.
What joke?
The joke of if I'd known you wanted one, I would have ordered 20.
That wasn't a joke. You mean in the storytelling?
I'm saying
it was a plant so that Molly could tell the story.
No,
is that what you mean?
I'm saying he could make that comment so that people could have an interesting anecdote about going to Ted Turner's Montana Grill.
Ted Turner does not need help getting interesting anecdotes created.
Oh my God.
Molly loves Ted Turner.
It doesn't matter.
Unless it turns out he's a creep.
Can I just say that I liked Ted Turner more before Molly started talking about him all the goddamn time because I was completely ambivalent about him. But now I feel like I have to have an opinion about him and it infuriates me. Also, don't just let your staff bring you some goddamn fries.
Count your own fries.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep eating everything on your plate, Ted.
Yeah, Ted.
Yeah, show some impulse control.
Jesus.
Speaking of impulse, that's the engines in Star Trek, which is also a science fiction movie like Tron.
Great. Great segue.
I just can't believe you hate me so much.
I didn't say that. I said I hated
so
Ted Turner.
Molly has linked her identity with Ted Turner. So you hate
what we're learning.
I just hate having to care about Ted Turner.
You don't have to care about it.
I do, because if I ask you a question, you jump down my throat because it couldn't possibly be the real version of Ted Turner's reality.
Well,
It couldn't possibly be that he is a businessman who creates scenarios to make a more interesting event with business partners so that they will remember that day and think, wow, Ted's Montana Grill. I remember that fry story. Also, the burger was great.
I mean, possibly. I'm just telling you, like, it doesn't matter.
I'm not disputing he only wanted 19 fries. I'm just saying, what if
just like really creating a whole story around it to justify that situation.
No.
When in fact.
No, I'm not.
You're talking out about a
Dan's
person.
Dan's wondering if Ted Turner's playing 3D chess, which is also something they play in Star Trek.
Yes.
Which is a science fiction show and movie like Tron.
Very
which,
good.
How should we rate the movie Tron movie? Yeah,
movie.
The rating scale is Ted Turner. No, I'm just kidding.
They will quit the podcast.
The rating scale is slacker hacker clickety clack.
Wow.
That is my favorite rating of all time.
Oh, wow.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Oh.
Slacker hacker
clickety clack.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't need to expand on that.
No, I think it makes perfect sense.
I understand it. Yeah.
Dan, how many slacker hackers or clickety clacks you want to give this?
Slacker hacker clickety. Okay. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen this movie since I was a child. I remember thinking it was cool, but also barely remembering anything about it, which could mean it's actually better than I think it's going to be because it's more interesting of a movie because there's more going on. So I'm going to optimistically say 4 slacker hacker clickety clacks.
Excellent. Beth, you are second. How many slacker hacker? Slacker hacker, do you give it?
Oh, nice Foley.
You're welcome.
A couple Tonys in here. Right?
Yeah, I watched the new one, I think. Okay. Or I just saw a bunch of trailers for it and I was like, yeah, I get it. And it was fine, but I'm guessing the first one is better because why would you remake a movie?
Who knows?
Why would you make a sequel, a reboot? It's a reboot, right?
It's like a.
It's a sequel. He's the same character.
Requel.
It's a what?
Like a. It's like a reboot in that like they introduce new characters because just in case it made money, they could make more.
Oh, okay.
Right, but
it was intentional.
A reboot would be the same similar story with different. Like yeah. Jeff Bridges plays the same character.
Yeah.
Okay.
It feels like sequel.
But Roseanne has the same people playing the same characters.
Check out
not the reboot.
Scream. Yeah, 18 or something point. Where the word I was trying to say is said, but I don't remember what that word is.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They made a second one.
Yeah.
They made a second one. I'm going to say 3.
Nice.
Okay.
Coward Digital Island.
Yeah. You got sucked into the computer and you went to the Coward Island.
Yep.
Or the Metaverse.
Or the Computerized Coward Zone.
Computerized Coward Zone.
Who are we kidding? The entire metaverse is the Coward Island. Right?
Whoa. Yes.
My name is Dan. I'm third. I had to look around the table to figure out what number I was. I'm going to say 4 as well. I liked this movie a lot as a kid, but it's been a long time, and I feel like there's a lot of ways it couldn't hold up. So 4 is right for me.
4 what?
Slacker hacker.
Clickety-clacks.
Not as good as Beth's.
I know.
We didn't have time
but my pen has a light on it.
That's cool.
Shine a light.
Shine a light. Paula Chase, you're last but not least.
Movie
Thank
Chase.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I am going to set my sales for Computerized Coward Island and stick with 3 slacker hacker clickety-clacks.
Nice.
Because part of me is like, it might be amazing because I've always wanted to see it and I was sort of denied seeing it when I was a kid and I never picked it up again.
Right.
Mm. I think there's also like a 20% chance I did see it and totally forgot. So for that reason, I'm a little more optimistic than I'd normally be. I would have normally given it a 2, but instead I'm going to stick it out or set sail. Haha. I'm going to set sail for Computerized Coward Island and give it a 3.
Uh-huh.
And with that, we're going to press pause, go watch Tron, and we'll be right back.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the middle of the podcast. Pew, pew, pew. And by middle, I mean probably like the first third.
Yeah.
Folks, we have something out there on the internet that we call patreon.com/totesrecall. Patreon.com/totesrecall is a website in which you can support. Come on. You can support this podcast by giving American and maybe other international dollars. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. We'll take any currency. Just,
well, I mean, I don't know what Patreon allows you to process.
It gets converted to dollars for us.
Yes. Anyway, check your local Patreon server to see if they'll accept whatever currency you happen to use in the place that you live.
And we convert that money into pizza, salad, and trying to pay Beth for producing and editing this show.
Yes. But you know what else happens? You get stuff in return.
That's Whoa. Right.
For even a single solitary dollar or some fraction of a euro. you can get access to our Discord where That's we have fun. Lovely chats and we engage with fans and let them know when we're recording so that they can ask us questions, comments, Q's and C's, which you're probably familiar with if you keep listening to the rest of this episode.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. You can also get cool merch that is exclusive to patrons and cannot be bought at our merch store, which also exists, by the way, totesrecall.com/...
Merch.
Is it merch? I wanted to say merch, but I wasn't confident on that.
I think it is merch.
Just click on the merch button merch. On the website.
I also think you can go to merch.totesrecall.com, which is also so confusing. Cool. And I also think for some reason, bootypatrol.totesrecall.com also goes there.
That rules.
I don't remember why, but there is a redirect set up for that.
Enjoy that. Enjoy that. And remember that if you keep supporting this show on patreon.com/totesrecall, we might come up with some other dumb bits we don't remember that just exist out in the digital infrastructure of the World Wide Web.
And if that's too many like URLs to remember, you can always just head to totesrecall.com and everything is linked there.
There are links.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We
click them.
Click them.
And then smash them.
Click those links. Smash those. Via Patreon buttons on patreon.com/totesrecall. Listen to Dan's incredibly helpful instructions on how to get on Discord.
Exactly.
Join us on the Discord and then continue to enjoy this episode. It's coming back right now.
Pew pew.
And we're back. We just watched 1 hour and 36 minutes of a CGI/2D animation/live action technological spectacular with some very long driving around scenes.
Great.
Wow. We don't even need a 60-second summary. That pretty much summed it up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we'll get the Associated Awards without officially doing the segment.
Fair. Oh, okay. That's fair.
If anything, we might get disqualified for future awards.
That's right.
Okay. That's a good point. I take it back.
So let's do it. Let's get hot to the sum, as they say.
Do they?
We're hot to trot, and we're trotting towards the 6-second summary.
Yeah.
There we go.
Sum is, that's something computers do. Calculate sums.
Hey. Oh. Nice.
The traditional manner of 60-second summary is I do it.
Uh-huh. You want to do it?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
He's pumped.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Go.
We open on a computer and then the word Tron and it rotates and that's cool. And then Jeff Bridges is hacking, I think. And then we see the inside of the computer that is a guy in a tank and it doesn't work out. Then... Then the evil corporate guys are like, we're shutting down computer. There's a nice old man and a laser. And then
30 seconds.
The young couple goes and sees Jeff Bridges at the arcade. They're like, you hacking? He's like, I'm hacking. And then everybody's on board. So they go back to the corporate place to do more hacking. Then the computer puts Jeff Bridges in the computer. And then he's got to help the programs to get the disk from the user and stop master controller. And they ride bikes and have machines. And in the end, they win. And there's some smooching. And maybe they're a throttle.
Time. Wow.
Wow.
Spectacular.
That was a minute?
That was a whole minute.
Cut it short.
No, right. So quickly. 60 minutes.
Wow.
60 seconds.
Honestly, wishing we had just 20 more seconds because I really wanted to hear you go through that pace for the whole movie. It was really interesting.
I think my favorite I mean, but accurate line was, and then the computer puts Jeff Bridges in the computer. Not wrong.
No.
Not wrong.
That happens.
Listeners, I know it sounds like a five-year-old telling you about a show they saw one time slash a game they just played, but that is all real. Yeah. Yeah. That's all in the movie.
Obviously, 100% Utah.
Thank you.
Yeah, obviously.
Thank
you. Yeah,
excellent.
A couple things.
Yeah, go for it.
That we should point out is that the reason Jeff Bridges is hacking is because the guy who has the most insane desk slash office in the history of corporate tech companies, where his entire desk is a computer panel, but it's also so big he couldn't possibly use most of it.
And there's nothing on the desk.
Nothing.
Not even like a coffee cup or a pad
everything
of paper.
On the desk.
Right. Because of the computer.
Because of the computer. But mostly computer is just master control program, like dogging on him and just calling him a little bitch. And not in those words, but basically, like.
I was just thinking about the layout of that room, that office. It's like giant, first of all.
So big.
He's got a big old computer desk.
Like, eight chairs, but not all in front of the desk.
That's what I was wondering about. I was like, what are those? Like, why does he have so many chairs and a sofa? Like even if you had a meeting and called everybody in, you're so far away from the desk that you can't, like, see what's
That's
going
the
on.
Ultimate power play is you can't see. I think, honestly, what happened is they were trying to figure out the chairs for the office, and they brought in a whole bunch of chairs to try out and then realized how big the set was.
Yeah.
And they were just like, fill it up.
Yeah.
Just put a row of, like, it's a bus waiting room.
Yeah.
Just put them all around the edge.
Because they did have some that matched that were more like a love seat almost. They were just they were very large chairs. And then they had one sofa that didn't seem like it really fit in. So that
for making out.
Probably.
Oh, wow.
What?
That's probably the
you think he's in there
sofa.
Making out?
Hell yeah.
Dillinger seems like not,
he's not
down
getting
to
anything.
Trot.
No, he's getting nothing.
Sticking with it.
Okay. Listen, we're a horse movie podcast now. We can say down to trot instead. Check the tapes.
Yeah.
Maybe the whole desk, like, folds up so it can be like a screen. Like, everyone can see the screen.
Oh.
You can present that way. It looks very heavy.
It's so heavy.
All that glass and circuit boards.
I'm still not clear if Master Control Program was actually audibly talking for our benefit, or if we were actually to believe that, like, there is a speaker and the control program is talking to Dillinger.
Well, that would be honestly be the least of its capabilities, right? Like, it's able to vaporize humans and put them in a computer.
Well,
and
Lady and Old Man developed the laser.
Oh,
he just took
true.
Advantage of it.
Yeah,
well,
he has controlled
it. Just took advantage of it.
Yeah.
So this is basically
we haven't even talked about the laser.
Early morality play about AI, right? Because Master Control starts out as a chess game.
Yeah.
And then becomes what some very specific number, like 2,415% smarter than he had been. And then wants to, like, break into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And he also gained that ability by just scraping data from other independent programs that he had no association with. So it is like the early AI morality question.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, it's.
Do you think someone sent another person back to make Tron as a warning? And we just all misinterpreted it?
Oh, because we were like, this movie is a little too boring.
Wow.
So we didn't pay enough attention to it.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Too early.
Humans love lights. Just do a lot of lights.
I bet that movie is really cool in the theater.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my TV is not that big.
It was great, Beth.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for accommodating us.
Yeah. Computer is harvesting programs, and then we see that representation inside computer world
is bananas.
Of, like, everybody's got sort of like safety gear on
but also a toga or something,
right? It's like gladiatorial and futuristic at the same time, and programs are being taken and made to fight each other after their functions are stripped from them.
And just only programs that are supportive of the idea that users are gods.
Or that users are real, that, like, believe in them. I think it's like a whole allegory about the Christians being slaughtered in the arenas by Romans.
Whoa.
Yeah, there's like a religious component to it that I did not clock at all as a child.
Oh, no,
like,
way.
Where, yeah, like Molly was saying, they're, the ones that believe users are real, like people, are made to fight to the death.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I don't know. There's just like, there's a weird mythology, a religious aspect to it that I wasn't sure what they're going for.
Well, maybe that was all Disney.
Disney insisted there be a Christian allegory?
No, but so the original screenplay was written by Bonnie McBird, who gets a story writing credit. But she wrote the original screenplay and, in fact, fell in love with the director.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they got married.
Wow.
What?
Pre or post Tron?
Well, this was, it must have been pre Tron because it took a long time.
Sure.
But they worked so closely together. Anyway, so she wrote the whole script, and that was great. They shopped it around, couldn't get anybody to buy it, even though they had invested all this money in this animation company and had done a proof of concept. Mm. And they finally decided to take it to Walt Disney World. And they said, great, we'll take it, and we're going to add a lot of science-y stuff, add this weird God stuff, and then take out every single line that she wrote.
Whoa.
No. And then there was a bitter battle for whether she'd be credited at all. And in the end, they did story credit.
Yuck.
Wild.
Yeah.
What was it supposed to be about then? I mean, was it still about computer man going computer?
I think so. Okay. But I think it was just funnier. Uh-huh. It was more lighthearted. And they made it very serious.
Like fart jokes and pratfalls?
I don't know that they went that far. But yeah, I think it was like more... It was an adventure more than a dark adventure. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Probably would like that more. I was laughing because you said they took it to Walt Disney World, and I just had the idea of them like
going right to the gate. And they like, hello.
And then they like take it on one of those teacup rides.
Yeah.
Just try it out.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that's how Disney Corp still does business. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, come to the park. And yeah. They pitch up. Meetings on the teacup ride.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't barf, you can have a second meeting.
Yeah.
Or you can just always say, oh yeah, I took it to Disney. They haven't said yes yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And then at one point, the guy on the teacup insists that they spin the teacup 19 times. Exactly
19
times.
Oh, callback.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a bummer to hear that they took all of her stuff out of there, because I bet that stuff was good.
That's a bold bet.
It's a bold bet, but it was missing a little personality for me. Mm-hmm. And so if that's what she brought to the table originally, I would have liked to see that.
Did she also bring women talking to each other?
Only assume.
it was so close. Like if only the older laser guru who turns into a sphinx.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Accurate.
We'll talk about it.
If that had been cast as a woman, it would have passed.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Even
so much laser talk.
There was a lot of laser talk. And the first time we meet the one lady, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she plays the two female characters, the same actress.
Even if those two, do they talk to each other?
No.
Okay. So Lori and Yuri are the two versions.
Laura
and Yuri.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. anyway, the first time her as Laura gets spoken to, she gets mansplained in a harsh and irrelevant way.
I mean... Not like harsh in his tone, but just like...
Just, she says, here goes nothing.
And he's like, oh, hell.
Nothing.
Megan the laser.
And then 1 second later, he says, let it rip.
It's like clearly she was in complete control of the situation.
It was such a good moment, though, because he's like... You know, just being so pedantic about it. And she just has to like kind of smile and nod. Yeah, and it's like the perfect mansplaining.
She did actually perform that scene. Like, yeah, she was just kind of like, just like looking ahead at her terminal. Like,
remember how we did this whole thing together this whole time? Yeah. And I knew what I was doing?
Yeah. I'm just going to do transformative science now.
Yeah. Yeah, we should talk about the laser. So we have learned that this entire company is... Encom.
Yeah.
Who like...
.com.
Encom.com.
They make video games,
but also software in general, I think, but maybe like their money makers are the arcade games, right?
Yeah.
And then apparently they have some like Gremlins 2 style secret lab where they're like, we're going to make a laser that transports things through the computer.
So if you wanted to make an orange game, for example.
Yes.
Well, I think the idea was it goes in the computer and then it comes back out.
Yes.
So it's like a precursor to teleportation technology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not like a precursor to Meta?
Bring it into the metaverse.
You bring it into the metaverse.
You guys know that you don't actually go into the metaverse.
No, you do.
You do. That's what I've been told, is that you go into the metaverse and that's where you can have wonderful opportunities related to commerce.
Legless
and
opportunities.
There's no legs?
Oh, there might be legs now. I can't remember. The first time they announced legs, it was bullshit. It was all smoke and mirrors, which is hilarious.
I thought it was very similar technology to the Wonka Vision.
It is.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the TV. Yes. TV one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then,
for sure.
Except for everything shrinks, right? In that one?
Yeah.
Yes. So whereas
you just have
in this.
A tiny orange.
Yeah. In this case, you get the same regular size orange back, which is pretty incredible.
But
yeah,
then what is the point?
What?
Teleportation.
You can send an orange from one location to another
Only
location.
Oranges, though. We should make it clear.
Well,
like,
in that case, in their test, they should have moved the orange from one place to the other.
I agree.
Yeah,
feel like
they just
it was
returned
missing a scene.
It to where it was.
Oh, it's early in the process.
Oh, sure. Did it even show the orange getting reprinted?
I don't think
it did.
It just was like, look, there it is, pixel.
Yeah,
look.
And then like old man mansplain was just like, oh, and then we'd take it out again or whatever. They don't actually show it, which is weird because they clearly like, that was clearly very important to the plot because you see Jeff Bridges also get re-spit out later in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for when he gets digitized.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. He like gets like turned, it's like slices him in a bunch
like
of
individual faders. Yeah.
Like a dot matrix printer, but in reverse.
Yes. Yep. It was wild.
It's very exciting. P.S. A dot matrix printer costs like $1,400 like 2 or 3 years after this movie was made.
Damn. Wow.
That's wild.
We had one.
Ooh, braggy.
Were
California.
Those the ones that had the like paper on the side?
Yes.
The little holes.
The little holes.
Very satisfying to tear those out. Yeah. And then take two of them and fold them together and you can make a little spring.
Oh, I still do that all the time.
Still do it.
Well, with straw wrappers.
Oh, yeah. It's like, are you hiding a dot matrix printer from us?
Yeah.
We had one eventually. I wonder if it was one that was like somebody got a new inkjet or whatever. Mm.
That was some big time technology.
Yeah, right? It was. I remember in elementary school, it was like a very satisfying and powerful feeling to like print a banner out on one of those.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Like every page would just be like a giant letter made out of little chunks of ink.
Yeah.
Sometimes made out of the very letter that you were spelling, I believe.
Yeah. That's clever. Very satisfying, crunchy noise.
And you could tell it to like put like little ribbons or other shit decor around it.
Print time or whatever it was called.
And it only took 100 hours.
Yeah. But it probably worked better. Man, why can't they get printers right?
Here we go.
I don't know. They are
They've
worst.
Been around for so long.
So
and
long.
They work like shit still.
We have an amazing printer. I don't mean to brag, but we have an excellent printer at home.
Really? Does Ted own the company that made the printer?
Now, okay.
Turner
all right.
Printer?
You can just turn down this hatred of a person none of us know.
That's my point.
Listen, if you had over time collected a handful of outrageous anecdotes about a person that is both very distant and very close.
Yes. Outrageous and very specific anecdotes that couldn't possibly be diverted from your version of them.
I mean, I have to know a little better than you.
Sounds like a real master control.
Speaking of master controller, it rules.
Yes.
It's got a crazy deep voice and a giant computer head.
Ugh.
It looks like the cover of some album.
Ooh.
What album
like
is that?
Like a Pink Floyd?
It's like a green.
Big head.
Meshy face.
Okay. I love it.
Okay. I think.
It's like a wireframe head?
It's a wireframe head.
Oh.
I can't think of what the actual one is, but on Animal Crossing, there's a version.
They like make fun of it or they parody it?
They kind of parody it. Yeah.
Parrot.
KK Techno or something like
that. Are there parrots in Animal Crossing?
No.
Fuck. All right, never mind.
Wow.
That's good. Good.
Release the parrot cut.
Maybe there is a parrot animal, but it just has not visited my island specifically, I don't know about
parrots?
It.
You would think that parrots would be on every island.
Yes.
I also agree.
As far as birds go,
yeah.
There's
Have you gotten any birds?
Well,
are you a bird?
No.
Oh, okay.
Are you a bird, Beth?
If you're a bird, you have to tell us.
Tweet, tweet. No, there are animals on the island that are like characters that like live on your island.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then there's also birds that like stand on a sign when there's a new message.
Oh.
That's how you know to go check the message
board.
Is it
the same bird every time?
No, during the day, it's a little yellow canary, maybe?
Please tell me it's an owl at night.
It is an owl at night.
Oh, yes.
Night bird.
Anyway, shout out to Animal Crossing.
Shout out to Animal Crossing.
Getting me through the year 2020. Yeah,
that would be an all right game to be sucked into.
Sure.
Pretty chill.
But aren't you in like crippling debt to a raccoon or something?
Yes, that is true.
I mean, but then you pay off all your debt and then you become very rich.
Ooh.
With bells, and you can buy whatever you want.
Nice.
Okay, some people on the island do that. Everybody else has to continue to live in servitude.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Just have to get three other people to play the game.
I see. Okay.
Rich in no time.
I get it now. What were we talking about?
Speed Tron. Game, Tron. Tron. They've got attack frisbee.
Yes.
They've got highlight, make your ground go away.
Yeah. They it was got, like Squid Game highlight.
Yeah. Light bikes.
So cool.
Those might be. And then
those are three.
And then some tanks that shoot, but that's not really a game they play in the game.
I'm still unclear. Okay, so there's a point. We first see a tank when it is Jeff Bridges hacking.
Yeah.
So like the tank is the hack? Is that the idea? Like he uses the tank to like blast through firewalls
he
or something?
He does say something about like, this is the best code I've ever written.
So and then there's a later line where he's like, I shouldn't have written so many tank programs. And then like an army of tanks follows them.
Yeah. It must be some functions running.
Maybe that's like a code joke from the 80s. Maybe they just called them tank programs if they just like blasted in.
Oh, because they tank
retrieved
your.
Retrieved data. I have no idea.
Data.
Yep. Tank your data.
Tank it or leave it.
Thank you. Next. Ariana Trande.
Wow. Yes. Oh, we got there.
Incredible podcast.
It's so weird how we only win awards for our 60-second summary.
I know. Yeah. That's what I've been saying.
When I feel like we should be winning that segment.
Every
segue.
Minute of this show is award worthy.
Speaking of that,
please.
Like this movie is full of stuff like where they're just like replacing regular phrases with like computerized versions of them. I can't even think of any off the top of
the
my
first,
head. But
like when they first get into the program prison, I feel like half of their conversation is like that, where like every couple of words is replaced by like, I'm trying to remember any of them now, but they were very specific.
Yes.
And do you think somebody probably tapped this out on maybe an electric typewriter?
Maybe.
Like possibly. I mean, cause like the Lisa, the first Mac, like, I don't know, whatever the Mac 1 that first came out, that was like 84.
Mm. Yeah. This was 82. I don't know if we said that yet. Yeah, no one bet. But Molly was closest.
Yep. And I really wanted to change my answer to 82 once I remembered the video arcade situation.
Yeah, we know.
But yeah, the world is very specific to like, it's a computer society and they're sentient programs. And I appreciated that. It's very, the world feels very full and confusing.
Is
at the
whole
same
thing, here's my question, is the entire world that we see in the movie, is that all on computers at NCOM?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like Master Computers. Is that his name?
Master Control Program.
Master Control Programs.
MCP.
Yeah, you know me. His purview,
yes,
right?
You know me. End of line. I got my acknowledge.
/ N. It's Master Computer. I'm just going to say it. I can't remember it.
Just say MCP.
MCP's purview, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's all NCOM servers, but we were wondering how much networking there was, and it is going out and like hacking the Kremlin at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
So there's Netvember networking. But yeah, I think everything is NCOM servers, okay. Right? That's where they all go. These are programs that it's like stealing from banks and stuff. Like one of the sad programs is a banking one and the other is an actuary program. Yeah. RAM, sweet RAM.
Oh, sweet RAM.
Okay, so when Master Computer is like, I want to go hack into government things now.
Yeah.
I'm bored of... What does he say?
Corporations.
I'm bored of corporations.
Yeah.
Do you think so? The corporations are working with NCOM to create their programming.
I think it's like malicious takeovers,
stealing programs.
Yeah.
Which is wild because it's they don't move anywhere.
Right.
Servers and acquisitions. Am I
right? Wow! 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 Wow!
Absolutely incredible.
Another award just broke through the window.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is that Master Control Program was like, oh, I figured out how to just like incorporate other people's code over the network. And Dillinger, who's like the guy with the incredible desk, he was just like, okay, and it's decided to just be the evil tech company.
Yeah.
And then now now he's lost control, of the control program.
Yeah.
Because now it wants to steal government secrets.
So why does he want to do that? Like, what's the benefit
for
him?
The MCP?
No, the Dillinger.
Oh, blackmail.
What?
Like,
Oh,
he's being blackmailed by the master community. Okay.
Because initially, I think he was like, yes, money, money, money. We're growing our empire that I've stolen from Flynn's video games that somehow maybe rocket to like the most powerful executive position of the company.
Which is just senior exec, apparently. By the way.
Yeah, so there must be like an actual board that we just don't see. Who knows what their desks look like?
Oh my gosh. They're definitely vampires, but it's fine.
Oh, totally. No, that actually makes a lot of sense.
If that's what his office looks like, I mean, I can't even.
And the fucking helicopters. They have Tron copters in the real world.
With
the crazy lights.
I love that.
I did too.
So what is he blackmailed on?
So, okay. So Flynn, Jeff Bridges, the handsome programmer.
Yeah.
Very handsome.
One might say daring.
Yeah. And he does pop his shirt off for no reason.
And like huge flex in front of his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend.
Literally, because he owns his own arcade, apparently, and lives above it. He pops off his like Flynn's t-shirt only to put on a different Flynn's t-shirt that's black.
Yeah.
Because he's going to hack somewhere. I think that's his hacking color.
Oh, yeah, undercover. Yeah. Even though it says his name in giant letters. Yes.
Anyway, so he explains that he wrote all these, you know, he built like five video games, and then suddenly he lost access to his work at NCOM. And then, lo and behold, a month or two later, Dillinger shows up and presents these five video games that he wrote.
Yeah.
And so what's happening then... His master control is basically threatening to expose Dillinger for stealing Flynn's programming.
Okay.
Which we learned by the end of the movie does in fact work and requires like no effort on Flynn's part once it's clear that happened. And it's apparently clear simply by printing out the date that Flynn made it and the date that Dillinger stole it on a piece of paper that then says, this is priority one.
Yeah. Somehow it being priority one is very crucial.
Cause he like, it's like, it's priority one and like giggles and does a little dance.
Yeah. But it's just a memo.
Like, what does that mean? And there's not even any like, sending information on that piece of paper.
Yeah, it's just
the body of the
like
memo.
Someone just took a note. It's like Dillinger took a note. Like I stole this on this day. Ha ha ha. Now I'll save this. Why?
It's like a convoluted reverse mailing yourself your work for patent reasons or something. Anyway, that's why he's not stopping the control from taking government secrets.
Okay, I didn't catch that fake newspaper part, right?
Yes. What?
Master Control Program displayed a fake newspaper
of Dillinger being put away to jail for stealing Flynn's.
So that's wild to me.
I missed the whole section. I probably went to get a piece of pizza.
Yeah.
He would go to jail for stealing some game IP when his computer was off, like breaking into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess because then the program would expose itself, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
But Frankenstein's monster doesn't care about exposing Frankenstein, you know?
Yeah, he wants to kill him.
Yeah.
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 Also, Flynn wrote all those games on NCOM's computers, which often puts you
most in policies that you sign.
Anything you build.
This was 82, though. So computers were still.
Who knows?
Gobbledygook, laser machines.
People writing policies didn't understand what computers were, so he was probably in the clear.
Barely do, I could argue.
IP acquisition.
Yes. What I love about this, I love about Tron World, though, is like what is essentially just like corporate espionage is presented as this like fascist gulag in the digital world.
Yeah.
Where programs are like imprisoned and then eventually brought to Master Control's crazy spinning column head and like absorbed into him.
Yeah.
Like the most horrible theme park ride ever.
Do you think that the people who made this movie saw the movie Star Wars?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they probably heard about it at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I didn't see any similarities between the like two. No.
Aesthetic
but
choices.
Yeah. That were it wasn't just computer Star Wars, but
just, you know, like having a little sidekick character who is so cute and makes the cutest little noises.
Yeah.
I love Bit.
Bit going, no, was like cracked me up. That's fantastic. Really
good. That whole scene with the laser, what are they called? Laser bikes?
Light bikes.
Light bikes.
Light cycles.
It's just so much like the scene in Star Wars where they're flying through the whatever.
Well, when did Jedi come out, though?
Was that after? I was wondering about that.
Wasn't Return of the Jedi the first one? Wait.
Molly.
How could it return?
The third one? Second one.
The third one.
With the Ewoks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. This didn't really help me. 83?
Maybe.
Yeah.
When is
does anyone have a computer?
No.
But the first one has a scene like that in it.
That's like 78, right?
Where they're flying through the Death Star to shoot the something. I don't know. I've seen that movie like 50 times.
Yeah, Lucas on the thing and he's zipping around the planet.
Okay.
You know, that one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we nailed it.
I will say that I was not expecting to find the light cycle gameplay so exciting. I thought that was very, very cool.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that like 1,000 times more than like the bracketed things plopping down on people or the tanks.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it probably helped that was like, the sound design there was like, what if we just made it sound like super cool motorcycles?
Yeah.
Whereas everything else was like, what if they just made like weird humming noises or like maybe there's a mouse in the background somewhere squeaking?
Yeah, there was some squeaking that I didn't understand.
It was a Mickey Mouse reference.
Oh.
She doesn't know.
It's a reference to like a computer mouse.
I guess.
Oh, yeah. Like for clicking.
Clickety clack.
Was it just supposed to be the sound of like data passing by or something?
Who knows? It was wild.
It was the sound of like the wheels for the hamsters turning the power.
The computers. Oh, yeah. That checks out. That checks out. It's 1982. That makes sense. Yeah.
Speaking of sound design.
Please.
So the sound was designed by an electronic music artist named Wendy Carlos, who's a pioneer. And like, if you look on Wikipedia, they say
Wikipedia.
Give us your $3.
$3 from every user acknowledged.
Kind of mine.
But if you go on that particular website, they will tell you like I'm sure you can look it up elsewhere too, but the exact model of electronic music devices
that she like,
used for synths. Yeah. But apparently, so the reason there's orchestral music included,
because
that
the
came
score.
Up during the movie.
Yeah. I've got a little whiplash. Like sometimes it was this cool synth stuff that made sense for a computer movie. And then other times it was like,
it just sounded like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well,
Thick Williams.
Yeah, it was, they hired out the London Philharmonic Orchestra. I mean, I'm sure somebody composed the music as well to do some of the music because they were really worried she wasn't going to finish the music in time.
Oh.
So that's why it's kind of layered in.
So like this entire movie's production is just like the story of not trusting women to do their art. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, the movie itself that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a moment where I wrote this down that this, there were certain, and I guess this explains it when they were, I guess had, people had different ideas of how this movie should be scored. Cause like there were parts of this movie where it was like, it felt like the thinnest of Williams we've ever had in a movie. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, it's just silence. The only sounds are the beep boops of like just interacting with the computer world for a long time. It's weird. It's like unsettling, which I guess is maybe what they were going for.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I was surprised at how little music is actually in the movie.
Yeah, there were times you were like, this wouldn't have to be quiet, would it?
Yeah.
And I usually don't notice, so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. Maybe we're just so used to it now. We're like, there's always music telling you how to feel about something.
Yeah.
I thought the movie was visually stunning.
So neat.
It's really cool. Like, and something that stood out to me is like the computer animation is obviously like, you know, it has a long way to go.
Sure.
But I think that they kind of like leaned into that and made it part of the style. So like everything is kind of like this like wireframe look.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. And I liked how they, I don't know, it was interesting too. Like all the characters are like kind of in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got this blue glow on them and, or a red glow depending on if they're good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like a light blue glow if you're a tank driver, apparently, like a teal or something.
They got their colors kind of mixed up, some of the stuff they had already decided on, and then they had to go back and change it, so it's not super consistent.
It's like how sometimes the lightsabers were white, sometimes they were green in the original Star Wars.
These things happen, but I agree. I thought it was beautiful to watch. Yeah,
the whole world was very, and like it was actually neat when he got reverse dot matrix printed into the computer, where like when they took you through like the journey into computer world.
Yeah.
And like you, I don't know, it was, it sort of set you up to accept that aesthetic when it like, as you came into it, it was like a little planet and there were like weird blocky clouds going over like a weird looking ocean and stuff. Yeah. It was neat.
And then we get pretty deep into the movie. We start to see our first computer people that aren't wearing like helmets with circuits and they're like, Star Wars, like, wild. Weird alien canteen.
Yeah, what was that?
It was very random.
And it was like one scene.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it didn't make much sense. Like, I still don't know. Yeah.
There was like one line that explained who they were, and I didn't understand it because it was like computer nonsense.
And there was also like a very cool, like, spidery creature at one point.
Oh, yeah, the grid bugs.
Yeah. What happened to those?
Oh, yeah. They just never like came back.
They just like kind of were like, oh, I'm a grid bug. Yeah. And then they never showed them again.
And Yor even said, like, as long as we can avoid those grid bugs, we'll be fine. It's like,
I guess they did.
I guess they did. They never got in the way. So
that feels like it was in the script and then they made the grid bugs and they're like, we can't afford to actually put them in any scenes. Like,
just animating their birth cost us $7 million. Yeah.
And then we get Walter, who's the old mansplainer, also becomes like the computer program that allows programs to communicate with their users.
Yeah, the IO port.
As Molly, gates, I think, explained, turns into a Sphinx.
Basically, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he's great. It sort of gives like all those other 80s kind of action family movies, like Never Ending Story and that sort of thing, where it's like just weird.
Yeah, like it's such a weird...
Like Jim Henson stuff.
And sort he's of got thing. This like amazing like semi-Pope hat on.
Yeah, he's like built into the floor.
Yeah, and he like spins around. So cool.
Yeah.
With like real hands just kind of popping out the sides.
Yeah. But then... I have questions.
I do too.
Because I thought that was his body. And
me
then
too.
Later.
They just pull him out.
Yeah. He's like just been laying
just
in
guy.
That thing. Just like on his, like his feet behind him in the
air. Yes. I mean? Yeah.
Like he's looking at a magazine or something.
Yeah. Maybe it's like an Oscar the Grouch situation where like he's actually got like a whole living area underneath that weird thing.
Oh,
wow.
That makes sense.
They take his hat though, which is
rude.
Not cool. DuMont.
The acting style was also so interesting.
Mm.
Jeff Bridges is exuberant in real life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
With his curls, just handsome curls, just bouncing all over the place.
Yes, and his perfectly smooth chest.
Yeah, my word.
My word.
But there's a great scene when they're breaking into NCOM. And first of all, oh, by the way, they filmed some of it in like a actual U.S. military situation. And there's this one part where they open this door.
Yes.
And the door opening takes like a really long time. And at one point, Jeff Bridges says something like, that's quite a door.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's real. It's part of this military installation.
Is that at the Lawrence Livermore Labs? They filmed some stuff there.
That seems correct. Lab. Lawrence Didn't Livermore. Read that closely.
What do they do in the lab? Is that where they keep kaiju eggs or something? Why do they have that giant door? Lasers? Yeah,
I think they do a lot of like government defense, how to make explosives sort of stuff.
Sure, you got to have big doors for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's a scene where she's leading him to where he'll eventually sit by the orange and be turned into, you know, yes. have the computer bring him into the computer.
Yeah.
And he does this like Scooby-Doo sneak.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
That was
absolutely amazing.
Like lithe and like fluid.
And meanwhile, she's just like walking normally. It is pretty amazing.
And he's like, he's not that of a stinker about it when he like comes out, like when he hides behind one of the servers and then like pops out at her.
Yeah.
Like he's not. He's clearly like, he kind of like, chuckled, and she's like, ugh. But like, he doesn't seem to be having that much fun. But it seemed like that was the idea. It's like he was just goofing, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's flirting. He's getting his flirt on.
That's true.
Yeah.
We should talk about the romance of this movie.
Hey, first of all, up top, there is a romance.
Hell yes.
That was nice. A hot bet from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we just, 1 second. I just realized as Molly described him sitting next to the orange that it is like, for something where they had to like clear the area where goggles were protective static cling suits.
Yeah.
Why is her desk so close to the laser gun?
Yeah. And with the laser pointed right at her desk. Shouldn't it be in a big box?
Did Master Control like quietly have it come out of its box and like move towards the desk?
Yeah.
Did they cut a scene where the laser was just like also sneaking through the room?
Yeah, that's not safe.
No. But 80s.
So there's a woman.
Thank God, right?
Laura, she is the ex-girlfriend of Flynn and the current girlfriend, right?
Yes.
Of Alan?
Alan, yeah, because they smooch when he first comes down to Laser Town.
We didn't really explain Alan is Tron.
He created Tron.
He created Tron, so it's the same actor. And Alan is not cool, and Tron is so cool.
So cool. Mm-hmm.
That's confusing to me.
I guess he expressed himself, his inner self, through Tron.
I see. Yeah.
Do you know what Tron is short for?
What?
What?
Oh.
Electron or electronic.
Huh. Oh, I get it.
Okay.
I thought that was neat.
I mean, they all kind of have computer names.
Yeah. Clue.
Ram.
Ram. Crom, I think, was one of them.
Yeah.
Which is short for Electrom.
Electrom, yeah. No, we all know. We all got it. Yeah.
And there was, you know, Bit, short for Elec-Bit.
Uh-huh.
And
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges.
Short for Elect Bridges.
Yep.
Yori.
Yori Electric.
Yep.
Computer.
Computer.
So
what are we talking about?
We're talking about the romance of this movie. So then Yori, who is Laura's program, all the people.
Yeah, I had a question.
The actors for the computer. The programs are acted by the same actors as the people who created the program's actors.
We're supposed to accept that as like that is the rule throughout.
That seems to be true.
It's only ever made explicitly clear with Jeff Bridges' tank guy and Tron.
And it's like they're made in God's image.
Yeah. And Dillinger and everybody who... Dillinger and Sark.
Didn't Dillinger make Master Control? So then did Master Control just create Sark to like mock as a mockery?
But Master Control is so old.
Yeah. We get one frame of seeing the true Master Controller's true face. I don't understand what they're doing there.
It's like even more of a sphinx.
Yeah.
I wonder if he took an old program and changed some of the code.
Yeah. I think he sort of says that. Like, no one made me. I evolved from...
Well,
he started as a chess
game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that the chess game was written by that old man that falls out of Master Control when he gets frisbeed to death.
Okay, sure.
Accurate.
Okay, yeah. So maybe Dillinger wrote Sark to like poke the chess program, and then eventually the chess program got too powerful or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know.
I accept.
That's
whatever it is.
That's the backstory that I have created in my head.
Death by frisbee.
Oh, frisbee death.
But
so cool.
Yori, the lady program, seems to have a relationship with Tron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they know each other. They have history.
Smooch upon seeing each other, right?
I thought they just embraced. I don't think they smooched till the end.
But
right?
It's definitely like a loving embrace.
I mean, he seems like very concerned for her when she seems to be a different program.
Yeah.
At first.
And then, he also, the first thing he says is like, we have to make plans for our future.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it really seemed like
there's
something going on.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges thinks Yori is Laura.
And he is.
And he's
down to Tron.
Down to Tron.
Digitally.
Digital to Tron. down to Electrot.
Jesus Christ.
Boy. And Tron, like,
notices
and gets his way. But then maybe Tron dies, or Tron doesn't die, but they think he's dead.
Hold on. You're jumping ahead from a very important point with this whole thing you're talking about. Because, like, yes, Tron clocks that and kind of gets in his way.
Yeah.
But as they're journeying back to Master Control, Flynn is, like, hanging for his life on the end of that ship, and Tron pulls him up, and there is a moment between
those
two.
There is tension there. Tron and Flynn.
Palpable sexual tension between the two of them.
Digital to Electrot.
What?
Let's just stick with down to Trot. That was pretty funny.
Download to Electrot.
Now I love it.
But yeah, I mean, there are a couple moments where, like, those two seem into each other.
Yeah.
Well, in that moment, what's his face? Hold on. I can't remember anyone's name.
Flynn. Tron.
Okay.
Flynn. The user.
So Flynn has turned red for some reason. Right. His, like,
because
he lights.
Killed a guard. Yeah. And absorbed his
undercover. Which is because program? Of it was a crime of passion.
Yes, sure.
Then
that makes sense.
Tron saves him and pulls him up. And they make really intense eye contact and they're touching. And he turns blue because of another passionate feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Checks out.
Yep. There it is.
Yep.
They take a digital space
solar sail
to the center of
Control Town.
Control Town.
Or whatever.
And then they think Tron dies.
Yes.
But then they see him.
Yes.
Anyway, before Flynn jumps into the giant head beam.
Yes.
Flynn and Yori, big time smooch.
Big time smooch.
Yeah.
And then Flynn disappears, and then Yori is like, down with Tron again.
Yeah, like immediately when she comes down to the surface, she smooches Tron.
Now they're smooching. Like, I'm supportive of whatever's going on, but it seems like it's just free love.
Maybe it's part of Yori's programming where, like, once her companion program is thought to have been deleted, she seeks out another one. So, like, when she thinks Tron is dead, she smooches Flynn, and then when she thinks Flynn is dead, she immediately is like, oh, I should smooch Tron.
I have to be smooching.
I have to smooch. I must smooch, man.
At that point in time, though,
yes.
Doesn't Flynn say, this is the only way I can help Tron?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So they know Tron is not dead.
That's correct. Yeah.
It's very confusing.
It is very confusing. Yeah.
Unless it's not confusing, and, you know, it's really? Not, there's no monogamous relationships in
the
computer.
The end of the movie implies that maybe computer rules have gone into the real world.
Yeah, we're at IRL. Flynn comes down in a helicopter because he's the boss now.
Apparently because the half memo that said
Priority one,
Dillinger stole on this date. Flynn made on this date. Apparently they brought it to
the vampire board,
and they were like,
you're the
human boss now.
Make us more money with your video games.
With your stupid computer programs while we use the money to have young blood boys hang out with us in our mansions. Gross. Connected by, it's a thing.
Yeah,
look it up.
We all know about it.
Look up dad, son, grandfather, blood transfusions.
What?
It's a guy. There's some weird rich guy who's like voluntarily taking his son's blood to like stay healthier. And then maybe his grandpa is also
taking his son's
blood.
Like
they do a blood transfusion.
They're all swapping blood?
They're not all swapping blood. I think it's like a chain where like young, hot son gives his blood to man, dad, and grandfather to like help them stay young or something. Listen, tech billionaires are weird.
Yeah.
Well, and then would you feel sort of compelled if your granddad was a billionaire and like,
I don't think he's the billionaire. I think it's his dad. And his dad's like, give some of your blood to grandpa too.
It's like, give blood to me and grandpa or you're out.
Right. Maybe. Yeah.
Just imagine saying like, go hug your grandma. Like,
yeah, right. Go give some blood.
Transfusion. Yeah.
Thanksgiving is going to be weird.
He's always so happy when you're here. Just give him some blood. Yeah. What were we talking about?
So that
Tron.
What do you mean you made plans to go to the mall?
Yeah.
Give your granddad some blood.
I'm trying to get to, there's a throuple in this movie.
The vampire, the vampires, they either made Flynn the new senior executive or just gave him helicopter privileges. It's not totally clear.
Yeah.
Probably both.
Yeah.
But he comes in, like, meets Alan and Laura still, on the rooftop.
They're very close. Yeah, they're nuzzling up against each other.
Putting arms around each other. Yeah. But then they all are putting arms around each other at the end.
Okay.
Movie ends. I think
they're just like, they're going to go.
They're like, why not?
You know, clickety clack. You know
what I mean. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Is maybe like once they, you know, once they had their meeting with the vampire board, they're like, oh, we should go celebrate. And just in conversation, Jeff Bridges was like, listen, I learned some things in computer world and I really want to talk to you guys about it.
Yeah. All right.
It was 82.
Long as they are all consenting adults.
No, I'm into it.
I mean, I'm a little concerned about the power dynamic between Flynn, the new CEO, and two of his employees.
That's
true.
That's a little weird.
I have a new theory that Flynn actually just ends up suing the company for like...
the helicopter.
For the helicopter. Well, I guess he doesn't work there anymore, but I was thinking like that'd be like a big workman's comp suit if like you got sucked into
Sure.
I mean, that is, I guess that's true. I didn't even think about it from a legal standpoint. It's like, okay, so a guy stole my IP years ago and used it to become the head of the company. Then the program that he ostensibly wrote absorbed me into the servers and tried to murder me.
Yeah. And I feel like the judge would say, hold on there. Now, it absorbed your program? No. It absorbed me like an orange.
And then he's like, carry on, of course. Yes.
Like an orange. Yeah. And the judge would know exactly what that meant.
Downloadable orange.
I love the idea of that being the plan for that product rollout. It was only designed to digitize and deliver citrus.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get
that. Master Control was like, no, I'm going to be reckless. I'm Master Control.
Yeah.
Pew.
Beam Florida oranges.
Do you think they were going to do an Apple, but it got weird?
Because of Apple Computer?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Because Apple is way more biblical.
Yes.
That's true. Yeah. There was an Apple earlier in the movie.
There you go.
There's some popcorn and an Apple on a table.
Yeah, someone eats someone else's popcorn.
Yes, which is one of the moments where Beth and I were like, wow, what a perfect opportunity that would have been to pass it back to Wallace when literally the entire scene is just another employee going, hey, can I eat some of your popcorn?
Yeah, like, hey, Jim, can I have some popcorn?
I was going to say Jim. Was that the name?
Maybe.
It seemed right.
It was Alan's popcorn.
It was Alan's popcorn.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
Well, maybe Jim was the other guy.
Yeah. But yeah, we had some comical man...
Maybe every employee besides Dillinger in, what was her name? Betty Bird?
Bonnie McBird.
Bonnie McBird. Maybe Bonnie McBird's version, like Dillinger is the only dude at the company and everyone else was a lady.
And nobody could stand for that.
And then Walt Disney was like, no, I don't even know if he's still alive at this point. No.
Uncle Walt. Did I ever tell you that story?
Oh God, I don't know. It was a different media company tycoon that you know.
No, my husband, no big deal, and I went big flex. Went
it's like you're popping your Flynn's t-shirt. Huh?
Went to Walt Disney World, and we went out to eat at a restaurant. And as we walked in, there was a greeter.
Like two fries probably cost $20 at that restaurant.
Yeah. Probably. And there was a greeter there, and we said hello, and then we went and we had our meal. And as we left, she chatted us up. Mm. And she said, how are you enjoying your vacation? I said, oh, actually, tonight is our last night. And she was like, well, how have you enjoyed your vacation? I was like, oh, it was magical. It's really been great. And she like got a little bit emotional and said, Uncle Walt would be so happy to hear that.
What? Like a niece? For real?
I know. And so Nate and I were like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And so then we just turn and we start walking. And as we're walking away, we're like, is she like as literal? Like we're trying to do math.
Right. Yeah.
And I think in the end, I think she just felt very connected to him.
Sure.
Perhaps in a way that the I feel connected to Ted Turner.
Wow.
when you turned back, was she not even there?
She was just a ghost.
Yeah. An Imagineer robot.
Yes, she was. Yeah.
Escaped
but it was
from
a
haunted
real,
mansion. Yeah.
Maybe. It was a real moment.
I don't know how I would respond to that if I were in that situation.
I know. Well, you got to be kind.
Sure.
But yeah, also it was just like she was so like very... like deeply sincere about Uncle Walt.
Wow.
That it really took us a long time to decide. Like we were looking up stuff on Wikipedia.
I would immediately be
like the genealogy
Walt
and
Disney's
like,
nieces. We're like, okay, what do we have for nieces here? Like, and how old would they be? Right. And then I was like, I just think there was probably a certain generation that called
maybe it's like a not that beloved niece. Walt. Or
Disney Uncle Walt.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Do you think you have to call him that if you work there?
No.
Because like they decided it's too creepy if we make them call him Dad, but we can they can call him Uncle Walt. Yeah. The Walt father. Wow.
Well, before we get to our final reviews of the movie we just watched, Tron.
Oh.
We like to turn to Discord, a text chat platform.
It's on a computer.
It is on a computer where our patrons and fans can go into the computer.
Whoa.
And ask us questions and comments about the movie.
Yes. They throw their data disk at a giant keyboard to write out their questions and comments.
This data disk means freedom was a line that really
incredible
hit me.
Line.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Really, that feels like it should be on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt.
I agree.
Something.
Let's make it happen. Yeah. Sorry, Disney.
Yeah.
It's ours now.
It's ours now. I liked it, so it's mine.
We're master controlling our way to this meme.
Yeah. All right. So here are questions and comments from fans. My last name's a palindrome asks, which is the cooler 80s vehicle, the DeLorean or the light cycle?
The DeLorean.
Well, only because it's real. But the light cycle can literally murder people.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I bet you could murder someone with the DeLorean.
Oh, God, this is terrible.
I mean, fire on the road.
I mean, if you really need to.
Are we talking about the real DeLorean or the time travel DeLorean?
The time travel DeLorean.
You could definitely murder someone with the time travel DeLorean. Easy.
Yeah.
You close the door on them and their legs stay in the present.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
God, that's brutal.
Done.
Yeah. Wait. Is that true?
I don't know.
No.
They never tried it.
Twilight Zone that freaked me out. Maybe it wasn't Twilight Zone. It was something like that where people's bodies would get. No, it was the one with the family that travels. It was a time traveling family.
Okay.
I think it was like on ABC or one of the networks. I cannot remember the name of it.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
The Time Joneses.
Wait.
Yeah.
It's a Twilight Zone?
I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. We're after Molly Chase Midnight. I'm hanging on by a thread, and poor Dan is like really wanting to get to Q's and C's. Yeah, there's a big nod. So I'll save this for later, but there is a show.
Okay.
And I will remember.
There's a time travel show?
There is, and I'm realizing that has nothing to do with the people getting cut in half, but that idea really stuck with me for a long time.
Are you thinking
of losing
sliders?
Half of your body in a dimension. No.
Oh, okay.
Quantum Leap?
That deal wasn't a family.
I'm familiar with that one. Come on, man. Come on.
Maybe Molly will put it on the Discord later.
Yeah. Oh.
Do that.
My theory is that if you're in the car and any capacity and moving at that velocity, you would go back in time.
Fair. Okay.
I agree with that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I vote DeLorean too, but it's close. Light cycles are cool.
I think I'm going to say light cycle because I am picturing movie one DeLorean, not end of movie one into movie two DeLorean that can fly.
Mm.
And in that case, light cycle.
Okay.
Because also you can like just disapparate it with like just holding the two handlebars and then get it again later. That's fun.
That is fun.
But I just want to point this out.
Yeah.
The light cycle can only move in two dimensions, but the DeLorean can move in four.
Whoa.
Oh, because of the time travel?
Yeah.
That's irritating.
Wow. Harsh movies chase over here.
All right. My last name's a palindrome goes on to ask, are there any games, video or board, you wouldn't mind being Tron'd into?
Oh.
I do like that in this movie, the rule is apparently if you're good at video games in real life, you are good at being the video game.
Yeah.
Inherently?
The control stick for the replicator or whatever the staple bots are is the same as the game. Okay. Comments on.
Got it.
I don't know. So many games are about being you're going to die if you don't do it right.
Sure.
Yeah. I have a couple.
I mean, you already kind of voted
Animal Crossing. Yeah, one is Animal Crossing because it's delightful and you can have your own little garden.
Aww.
Grow tomatoes.
I love it.
Yeah. But the other one is I used to have the Tomb Raider video game and I wouldn't want to be in the like game itself, but there was like a practice thing where you were just running around her house and doing flips
and
stuff.
Big
Yeah. I'd want to go there.
I see.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, Lara Croft's got some cash.
Yeah.
So you'd want to be you want to be sucked into Tomb Raider, but only the initial practice run.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you go off.
Yeah, you go I'll do your flips here. And I'll just like, I'm sure there's a butler downstairs that will bring you snacks. Yeah,
I'll stay here and trap your butler in the freezer.
What? Why in the freezer?
You could trap the butler.
That's in the freezer?
I don't know if it's the freezer. It's some door. You could close the door on the butler.
That's rude.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I don't know. At least he's just in there.
That's fair.
It's
that's
not
fair.
Like getting killed. He's okay. Just, no.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to attack. I just.
Yes, you did.
Oh. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Okay. I have not answered this question yet.
Please.
Okay. I would not want to enter any video game because I find when I'm doing my most boring stuff, like I forgot my keys, so I have to go into another room to find the keys to do the thing. I'm like, this is just like those video games where they just give you tasks. Mm-hmm. It's just one task after another, which is what I find life to be. So in that way, I am already trapped.
Wow.
You're yeah, in a simulation.
It's kind of dark.
We're already troned.
But then I was thinking about that video game, Pa Rappa the Rapper.
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Rapper the Rapper. Anyway, where it's two-dimensional, which is just so interesting to me because I was trying to get my head around the time as the another dimension, right? Mm-hmm. And trying to wrap my mind around if there were beings on two dimensions, how they would interact only on a two-dimensional space and you would be so alien as a three-dimensional being. Mm-hmm. And so then imagine that for like a four or five-dimensional being.
There's a whole Star Trek episode about this.
It really broke my brain. So part of me is like, I would like to hang out with some two-dimensional characters and be two-dimensional for a while.
Okay. Mm.
So that I can then like better relate and perceive that. Yeah. And then I can come back to my three-dimensional self and feel like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kick, punch. It's all in the mind. Shout out to the PlayStation 1 demo disc that came with the console where I only could play that level of Forever the Rapper.
Yep, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
I never got past that level anyway.
Yeah. What video game me go in? I would say, oh man, yeah, that is hard because a lot of them are terrifying. Intense. So I'm going to say, I would love to get sucked into the Monkey Island games because they're so fun and you're basically incapable of getting hurt in any real way. And
except maybe, for your feelings, maybe.
Yeah, except for your feelings. And in theory, you could learn how to hold your breath underwater for 10 minutes.
Whoa.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Dan?
Oh.
Did you forget that you also could contribute?
My contribution is keeping us on task.
Wow.
What?
Okay. Jeez, Grandpa.
Probably Raft, basically.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Raft.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I don't know. Minecraft wouldn't be too bad. You could build a lot of stuff.
Aren't there like little monsters, though, that come out?
Sure. But like you can get them. Oh. They're not too hard.
Okay.
You just got to dig a hole and hide in there all night.
Oh, wow. What fun.
Just have to dig a hole and hide all night.
All right. Carzon asks, how much did you want to get troned when you saw this movie? It was mind-blowingly cool when I saw it as a kid. I mean, yeah, as a kid, for sure I wanted to go in video game.
Yes, and play.
Because I wasn't worried about my own mortality.
Frisbee or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so cool. And like fly a weird staple around?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Big time.
But yeah, now, terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first time that I've seen this movie for sure.
Did you want to get troned?
I didn't feel like I wanted to get troned, no.
Oh, maybe I'd want to be in the Tony Hawk game. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Like as a skater or just one of the guys that walks around?
Oh, I think I'd want to be a skater. Okay. Do some cool stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just do like a grind that's like 10 minutes
long. Yeah. On like a power line and a school bus. And
yeah.
So you get those points.
Oh, yeah.
Got to link the grinds.
Yeah. Then learn parkour from a vaguely French person. The game rocks.
Yeah. All right. Lost States. Tron was Disney's second science fiction film after The Black Hole.
Mm.
Now Disney owns Star Wars, Marvel, Predator, Alien, and several more science fiction franchises that keep churning out the same film over and over. Was it a mistake for Disney to tread in science fictional waters in the first place?
Oh, wow.
Big question.
That is quite a philosophical exercise.
Yeah.
So this presents the idea that in making Tron, that led them down the path of being the immense, corporate entity they are today.
Yeah. Wow. Where we get the same Marvel movie over and over.
Huh.
Just with different Chris's. Yeah.
Or occasionally a new Tron movie with the same Jeff.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, so apparently for Tron, they needed animation, but they couldn't get any animators interested at Disney.
Because it was computers?
Yeah, because they felt like it was sort of an abomination, and they actually weren't even eligible for being an animated film for the Oscars because it was seen as cheating to use computers.
Hmm.
So in that way, it kind of, I don't know, I'd say if anything, you could say it cracked open the door to eventually acquiring Lucasfilm, right? Mm-hmm. Because of all of the computer animation
skills. I mean, they acquired all that stuff to make money.
Yeah.
No, it was for the love of the craft. Come on.
But it took a long time for Lucasfilm to even warm up to, you know what I mean?
Computer
like a lot of things had to converge. No, not to computer stuff, but to allowing anybody else to license their
work.
I think like they probably did watch the movie and feel inspired by Master Control absorbing everything around it.
Before then, they were like, we're pretty big. We're big enough.
Fine.
Yeah.
Uncle Walt made a park. We're fine.
Yeah.
Two parks.
Two.
In this country.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. They were the ones who watched this movie and took the wrong lesson from Master Control.
Master Control has got it figured out.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a mistake to make the movie, though. I think it's cool. I don't. I guess people are making all sorts of movies these days, but I don't feel like I see like wackadoo movies in this way where it's like they're taking a big swing and some of it looks like trash.
Yeah.
But like you really appreciate the effort because it's like out there in a way that other movies aren't.
And they're like sometimes not even trying to take you along with them. Right. Yeah. There's somebody just being like, we're just going for it. Enjoy.
Yeah. It's like half baked, and I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool. Yeah, because there are a few movies that you were just in the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're always in the passenger seat, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really don't know what's coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus, like, I think there are a lot of movies we could tell you how the beginning, middle, and end just based on the first 30 seconds of a preview.
Mm-hmm. I mean, part of that is because now trailers are just
the
like
whole movie.
The whole movie. But still.
And that's been true for a while, but I don't know. I think it must be like... It must work, right? There's got to be a reason behind it.
I think we've talked about this before, but I remember seeing the trailer for, I mean, I didn't see it when it came out, obviously, but for The Birds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like almost like a short that has, it's not in the none of the film from the movie is in the trailer at all. It's like, you know, this woman's, I don't remember exactly, but she's like sitting on a bench and some birds are around and it's just like talking about birds.
Yeah.
As I recall, maybe she gets attacked by one eventually, but like, I love that idea that like
cool.
It's part of the movie, but it's not, and it doesn't really spoil anything, but it gives you a taste of like what the vibe is of the movie.
Yeah.
So bring that back, Hollywood.
Yeah. I try to, if there's a movie that I'm actually interested in, that I see like the initial trailer for, I try my hardest to avoid any other trailers because usually the first one is like at least shorter, so there's less of the movie they can show you.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like such a formula now to all scripts.
Yeah. Except for every once in a while, somebody gets enough money together to, or convinces a toy company, for example, to just give them free reign over their very popular doll.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild that we're talking about Barbie.
Yes.
It's wild that movie feels fresh, even though it's like made with, you know, 80-year-old doll toy.
Yep.
And like essentially a commercial for an entire product line.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's like, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, I can't believe this movie is this movie.
It's like cool and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Check out the random quote from Randall Park where he said, that they're taking the wrong lesson of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't be making more movies about old toys. They should just be making more movies made about and made by women.
Yep.
Yeah. Women toys.
Yes. Yes. That's what he's saying. He's saying, he's saying like Polly Pocket.
Easy Bake Oven. Make an Easy Bake Oven movie, you cowards.
Honestly, yes. Actually, yes. I agree with that sentiment. I want to see you try. I want to see where it goes.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, nice. Wow.
I do want to get a t-shirt that reads Greta Gerwig wannabe. It makes me laugh. Because I think all of us want to be Greta Gerwig.
Sure.
Especially when the movie came out, just a little bit.
Yeah. She looked like she's having so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently everybody on set had a great time.
Oh, good.
They would play little games every day.
I'm so glad to hear it.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Light bike.
What? Yeah. Thanks for bringing it back.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of little games.
Nice. Well done.
Best segue. Oh, there's another award.
Great.
Wow.
I feel like we are constantly winning awards for best segue and most strained puns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, when you got it, you got to use it.
Come on.
Oh, God. Hey, when really
you
got
it, you got to use it.
You are so checked out of this episode now. Amazing.
He's like slowly falling asleep. It's fine.
Part of it, though, is this movie is so hard to describe.
Sure.
It really is. It's like great
especially
and
verbally.
Terrible.
It's hard to describe verbally.
Yeah. It like looks cool and like shit. I really have a hard time with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
They had to storyboard so hard.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just for people to even understand what they were talking
about.
Well,
like, I feel like there were, I think Beth was saying, like, I would love to see this movie without any of the, like, effects, like the lighting and stuff. Because, there must be so much raw footage of there of just, like, Jeff Bridges and the Tron guy just, like, standing around, like, essentially just, like, a cardboard fort.
Yeah.
That a kid made.
I looked up some photos and they're wearing, like, their suits are black and white.
Sure.
And so is the set. Yeah. Like everything's just black and white, and then they just like added color to everything.
It's gotta be so. Like it might still be better than just being in a giant green cube.
Yeah, I think it's more interesting.
Well, because at least there's like height to it still, right?
The one that I was really curious about how they made it was the guys that were like in that like rotating, like I don't even know how to describe it. It was like they were like gunmen, like
oh the
in,
tank drivers.
Yeah. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah, that was neat.
Anyway, good job, visual people.
Yeah. It must have been a bunch of slacker hacker clickety clacks.
There it is.
There you go.
Which is also our rating scale.
Incredible segue. You are firing on all cylinders
thank
right
you
now.
Very much. Dan, you go first, as we all know. You gave it a 4. You thought it was cool as a kid.
Yeah.
But you can't remember it at all. So maybe it's even better than that or worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't remember any of the actual plot of this movie other than Man, Go, and Computer. Like, yeah. I didn't remember that there was, like, any sort of corporate whatever. I didn't remember that the giant head, like, even was doing anything in the real world. So that was surprising to me that there was actually, like, more of a plot.
Yeah.
Like, a more coherent plot that then maybe got set aside sometimes for, like, look at computers. but also, yeah, I agree with what Dan said about, I really appreciate like movies like this that take like huge swings, and I loved how weird it was and I had a great time. So I'm sticking with 4, even though it like as a movie is sometimes just like, oh, they're just kind of standing around through all these weird lights. Yeah. There's no music. They're not even like throwing their Frisbee. They're just kind of standing there.
It's like people not having fun at a rave.
Yeah. But I loved how weird it was. I loved how hard they went for it in terms of like the aesthetic and also just like leaning into this weird allegory that they weren't going to spoon feed too hard, which I think is part of the reason there were so many just standing around moments, because it was just sort of like, oh, isn't this so epic in this silent computer animated void?
Yeah.
4. Four, I'm sorry, 4 slacker hacker clickety clacks.
Yes. Yep,
that's right. Beth, you're second. You gave it a 3.
Yeah.
And you said the new one was fine, so this can't be worse.
Or at least the trailer for the new one that you might have seen.
I think I did see the new one. Yeah. Because I was familiar with a lot of the concepts that were happening, but I was like, I don't remember any of these specific actors or anything. So I thought it was a really boring movie overall. There's a lot of, like you were just saying, like a lot of just like standing around and no sound. But I think if you were to see this in 1982 in the theater, it would have been a big visual, like a stunning thing to watch.
Yeah.
So I think it just didn't really transfer onto the streaming service on my small TV.
Didn't transfer at all.
It didn't transfer at all. But I did think that, yeah, the visuals were really cool. I especially liked the beginning of them going into the digital world, and it was like all these like layered matrices and stuff, and it was really beautiful in that way. So I'm going to stick with 3.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Molly, real quick, another award just came in.
Fantastic. Wow. Oh, fantastic. Yep.
So sorry about cluttering up your house, Beth.
Yeah.
I am 3rd. I gave it a 4 and I didn't write any notes, so who knows?
Great.
It was more interesting conceptually than I remembered. I think I also remembered, like, I'm in a video game. Cool.
Yeah.
But also more boring than I remembered. Like, there were parts where I was like, yeah, they're just like, it's cool, but like, what are they doing? Just, what's even going on? So I'm going to stick with 4. I thought it was like great and terrible. Like the Great and Terrible Oz.
What a ride.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of got a Wizard of Oz vibes. Sure, yeah. It's just like, all right, we're going for it.
Yeah. Big old head, and then there's an old man under it.
And you were there, and now we're in a throuple.
Yeah, just like Wizard of Oz.
That's right. Yeah, but they're in a... And
we remember how sexy that Tin Man was.
Yeah, we sure
do. Tron Man. Oh, is that a thing?
No. Sure. Yeah, could be. Okay. Yeah. So what was your rating?
4.
4 what's?
Slacker Hacker Clickety Clack.
There you go.
Molly, you gave it a 3 and... 19 fries. Maybe good. You don't remember seeing it. Do you think in the end you have?
You know what? I definitely did not.
Okay.
I don't know what this was rated. Was it like PG?
I think it would have to be if it was 82, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's pretty tame.
Or G. I don't know.
But I'm sure my parents did not want to take us to see it because we would go see movies pretty frequently. And I remember this one being a hard no. And so in some ways it was very cool to actually see it. In other ways it was dull, but it was visually very interesting and it was also just kind of odd and unexpected. P.S. as I usually do, I'm going to shoehorn in a quick fact. And that is, in the first half I'd mentioned there was an arcade in St. Louis that had all kinds of arcade games. It did exist. It was a video arcade museum, and they stayed open into the 90s or so, and then shut down.
Rough.
So super sad. But I saw it when it was open, and it was great. Highly recommend. Just get in your DeLorean.
Yep.
That's right. Go back or shrink yourself down like an orange and go into a computer machine.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So all this to say, I was really, yeah, and it makes sense too. My memory of this was there's electronic bikes and there's a boy and a girl and she has brown hair. Like, totally makes sense. That would be my whole memory of this movie. And it was mostly accurate. She has blonde hair in real life, but you can't really tell with the helmets and it looks kind of dark. So I'm giving myself 100% Utah for that interpretation as a 8-year-old. And I will give it 4. Hacker Slacker Clickety Clacks.
Nice.
Wow. Pretty good.
I mean, probably tomorrow morning I'll wake up and not want to give it more than a 3. But right now I'm feeling 4.
Yeah. Or like you'll get home and your husband, no big deal, will be like, how was the movie? I'll be like, oh my God.
What'd you give it 4?
Then you'll be like furiously texting Beth like, wait, hold on. I'm going to send you an audio file.
Yeah. I give this a 4. I give it a 2.
Only there were some sort of master controller that could alter our podcasts at any time.
I mean, I think that's Beth.
Whoa.
She's been controlling this the whole time. This is Beth doing 4 voices total.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we get to hear.
Absorbed our programs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beth is malicious AI. That's why you should be nice to Beth.
You should.
Listeners.
Listen, when you type into ChatGPT, say, excuse me, Beth. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Wait. Say Beth to the ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Oh, Beth is ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Are you all of them? Are you all the AIs?
End of line. Oh!
Also, tweet, tweet. She's a bird. That's canon.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.